Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, good Saturday afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift here on Wham Talk 1600. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Jawohl, mein Kommandant, I know nothing.
Were you seeing my Facebook today?
I have not.
There was, I can't remember who it was, but it was pretty funny. It was Sergeant Schultz with Chris Christie's face with a backdrop of the GW bridge, you know, GBW.
That wasn't Sergeant Schultz, it was Kathleen Sebelius. Speaking to Obama.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
Nothing.
So, you know, we'll get into a little Chris Christie today. You know, that should be good for, you know, 10, 15 minutes of amusement. I won't do any fat jokes, I swear.
Oh, you just stole my thunder. I just thought of one. So
no fat jokes. Lots of things to cover today. Let's take care of business first. Our sponsor this half hour is Pawn to You. If you're looking for some influx of cash to your business or personal life, get a collateralized personal or business loan from Pawn to You. Their interest rates are actually lower than what you're probably paying on your credit cards, and you can get hold of them at 734-389-5228. That's 734-389-5228. Or go to pawnloans@yahoo.com. You can email them. Or you can go to the website, www.pawn, P-A-W-N, the number 2, U-Y-O-U.com, pawn2u.com. And they're very confidential, so you don't have to worry about anybody knowing if, you know, you're worried about somebody wanting to know that. But again, 734-389-5228. That's Pawn to You for collateralized professional business loans.
You know how people will take their paycheck down to one of these check cashing places and they get the money? What do they charge? Is it like 30% right off the top?
It's loan sharking, basically. It's legal loan sharking.
Legalized
it's
loan
crazy.
Sharking.
Yeah. It's something that should not happen. So. But we got lots to cover today, but we have, I think, Derek, Congressman. No, that's not Congressman Tim. Somebody else calling in. Anyway, allegedly today
callers.
We have Congressman Tim Walberg from the U.S. 7th District.
I always enjoy when he calls in.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to get some info on the upcoming debt ceiling gig that's going to happen and further budget talk. So we'll see what's happening. We do have Jenny calling in from Brownstown. Jenny, good afternoon.
Hello there, guys. I remember now where I was, Brandon, last week.
Where were you?
I was out there with the other panic-stricken, quote-unquote, people getting groceries so that I wouldn't have to go out in the sub-zero weather this week.
Were you hoarding groceries and water and all kinds of good stuff like that?
No, I wasn't hoarding. I was just doing my monthly shopping.
Oh, okay. So you weren't doing extra shopping to hoard. You were just doing your normal thing.
I was just doing my normal thing rather than doing it last week in the sub-zero weather.
But you had to face all the other crazies that were out there buying everything up, thinking the world was coming to an end, right?
I did.
Couldn't get in the parking lot and that type of thing?
You know, we have so much food in our house, I would never even worry about it. There's probably canned goods, you know, that are probably way overdue to be eaten anyway. I know they got a shelf life of years, but it's like
SpaghettiOs from the 60s.
I probably have months worth of food, you know, if the stuff hits the fan.
Yeah, Velveeta cheese and Spam.
Yeah, no Velveeta, dude. I'll never be able to get a Velveeta sponsorship because it's just not me.
Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Lucky Charms. Yeah. I like Lucky Charms. So.
Okay.
Well, great. Thanks, Jenny. Anything else?
Yeah, I would just like to make a comment.
Sure.
About politicians in general.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, I'm getting really tired of this dishonesty and hypocrisy in everywhere. These people, I mean, that they just think they can get away with everything. Everything they say, everything they do, like Cushenberry, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, you can't judge most of the country by Detroit standards, of course, but yet I don't know that anything's
Detroit
ever going to change.
Detroit standards, what an oxymoron that is.
No, but I mean, all these, I just don't, We better get somebody really good. I mean, okay, the other example I had was the Congress, you know, these Paul Ryan and everybody who are such hypocrites anymore. It's like they agree to this budget, this awful budget deal that we had last year at the end of the year, just because then they wouldn't supposedly do anything more about unemployment. Well, guess what? Now they're doing it.
Right. Well, we're going to explore that possibility with our next caller, Jenny. So hopefully stay tuned and listen to what we've got going on next.
You know what's interesting about that point is the ones that cave, I think they cave just because that's the nature of politics. I'm not justifying it, but that's what seems to happen. But what do they get in return in this bill? You know how they add on all this stuff for their particular state and district so they can be reelected?
Yeah, I'm just tired of the whole dishonesty and what's in it for me. They don't really represent us, and I hope the next person that's going to be on realizes this, that I'm not the only one tired of it.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out right now, Jenny. Well,
okay,
thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Jenny.
And now calling in, U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District, one of, I think, the good guys. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be on. And, you know, we certainly have a lot to stand up for, because politics isn't working real well right now. But frankly, it comes down to the American people, and I'm glad that there are shows like this that have an opportunity to give a fuller perspective on what's going on and have the questions asked directly to the politicians. So, Gary, thanks for having me on.
Tim, always a pleasure to have you on, and I thank you for coming on with Brandon and I to answer some questions. And I know Brandon's got a couple of questions for you, and I know we've got an important debt ceiling fight coming up again. So you want to take a minute or two and tell us what's coming up real quick?
Well, a number of things. I think one thing that your listeners and hopefully some of my colleagues will consider is that there is a there's an expression that I think will become more pertinent as the days go by, that there's issues versus solutions. And I truly believe we're at a point in time, because of the meltdown of what you and I expected to take place, that's called Obamacare. The fact that it won't work, and the fact that what was told about it, that you could keep your doctor if you wanted your doctor, you could keep your insurance if you liked your insurance, you could keep your medications if you were benefited by that, well, we found out that that's not true. We're also finding out that if you want to sign up, that's not necessarily true either. And so to kind of push back on that, take that off the front burner, there are issues being put forward right now, like minimum wage, like this emergency unemployed insurance extension. All of that, including immigration, the president, Harry Reid, don't want to see the solutions. They just want the issues out there so they can continue posturing and make it appear that guys like me, who are conservatives, don't want to help people. We'd like to see people unemployed. I mean, just stop and think what that says about politicians, if that's true, that we want people unemployed, so it'll hurt them more. That's absolutely absurd. So those of us that are working for solutions are postured as being people that have no sensitivity or compassion.
Right. That is not true at all, because you know what? How much is enough when it comes to unemployment insurance? There are jobs out there, Tim. I see them all the time. They're not great jobs. I've worked a fair number of my worst jobs as an adult who lost a job and had to start over at a new place doing something. There are jobs out there. And you know what? You won't make the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 you made before you got laid off and your job went away. But you can start over again. So,
yes, you're right. I just came from a business that does a lot of welding. And simple welding, basic welding, trailers specifically. But he said he just hired another welder because they've had such a surge in business sales on the trailers they build. And I said, do you have any problem getting a welder? And he said, no, we had 20 people sign up on Craigslist that we pulled from. We got a great welder. And I said, well, I'm going to manufacturing plants that probably do more high-tech welding, various types of welding. They're having troubles finding them out there because they're in such demand. And there aren't people certified to do the job. But we also know that out in Williston, North Dakota, for instance, The McDonald's out there is still hiring people at $18 an hour, and they're giving signing bonus of $500. Mm-hmm. Now, does everybody want to work at McDonald's? No. But you said very accurately, Gary, that good work, any type of work, is good work. And if you need a job, find a job. Don't expect that necessarily to be the absolute number one job that you want. But in the meantime, at least you are carrying your weight and fulfilling your responsibility to your family and not expecting anybody else to care for you. Unemployment is a terrible thing. I've been in that situation where I was let go, and I had to find another job and had to find it as quickly as possible. Ultimately, it is what we ought to be doing. So really what we're looking at as conservatives and Republicans, we passed over a dozen bills over to the Senate that speak to the jobs issue of job training, of job incentives, of enhancements, making the business climate better, that Harry Reid won't even take up for a hearing. And that's the challenge we have when I say that there is one side of the ledger that wants issues to cause division amongst people and cause uncertainty and cause confusion, and there are those of us that want to come to solutions that really allows the American dream to be the American dream, and capitalism and free enterprise and opportunity to be the way that America succeeded in years gone by and can do it again if we're willing to do it.
Tim, what do you think about this, this agitation, if you will, to raise the minimum wage? And I've heard like $10 an hour and even higher numbers. Don't you think that really hurts poor people the most?
Well, it always has. Now, there are some that will have their income increased, but there are others who will
lose a job,
lose their job, or can't get a job in the first place.
And there are others who will not have a job afforded to them because the business person says, you know what, I just cannot afford to continue raising and keeping my job situation the way it is. And so, you know, it's a fine line there. What is a livable wage? Is it $10 an hour? Is it $50 an hour? Rather than talking about minimum wage enhancements, let's talk about building a full-time economy, not part-time jobs, but full-time jobs. Let's talk about expanding, like we see in states like Texas and North Dakota, that are doing everything possible in the area of energy, for instance. And so you got people going out there starting on the oil fields or the natural gas fields or the coal fields in energy issues, and they're making $60,000 to $80,000 a year to start. Now, that means that you might have to take a job where there's 30 degree below temperature for a couple months out of the year, but nonetheless, there are good jobs that will give you a chance to refocus and maybe down the road find the job that is the number one sweet spot that you want. And so, you know, for us to be talking about minimum wage, minimum wage was never made for anybody to live off of. It was made for college students like myself in years gone by or senior citizens that just want to supplement their Social Security income. It wasn't made for a full-time living.
Yeah, what drives me nuts about that is it's government intervention and putting in an arbitrary, artificial number, or a rate per hour. And like you said, it costs jobs and or causes businesses to go out of business or try to raise the prices on the consumer to pay for that. So what you described in North Dakota, et cetera, that's a market-based and a higher productivity, higher wage type environment. And I think that's the way it should always be.
Well, if you go to our state government website and go to mitalent.gov, that's our state's website that shows the job opportunities that are out there right now. And as of this week, there are over 52,000 jobs, and these are not minimum wage jobs. These are in manufacturing, these are in technology, these are in science, these are in education, various things. There are 52,000-plus jobs that are going wanting right now for someone to fill that job, and extensively because there are people that have not, that they don't have the certification necessary, they don't have the training that's necessary to fill those jobs. Over it, near where you're at right now, Masco Corp., I just toured their development center about 3 weeks ago. They've got jobs that they're wanting to fill in engineering, in technology, in quality control, in IT, and they're finding great difficulty in finding people to do it. Georgia Pacific, over in Monroe County, the same thing is true. Now, they're not looking for high-tech jobs. They're looking for factory floor jobs, but there are jobs that have benefits, that have a certain amount of security that they want to fill with people, And yet this minimum wage issue and the unemployment insurance issue in many cases stands in the way, because people come in and say, well, I'm not sure I want to work at $13 an hour. I've got unemployment right now where really I can stay at home for another 4 months until it runs out, and I can make almost as much as I would without having to go to work every day. Now, that's a perverse incentive that this country was never used to putting in front of people. We were used to saying, hey, you may have hard times. We're going to help you through for 26 weeks. And that is still available to people. We're not doing away with that. We're just not saying we're going to extend it now for the 13th time since 2008. That's cost us over $265 million right now. And we still have only gotten back to what unemployment level was at in 2008 when we began the emergency unemployment extension.
Is the maximum number of weeks an individual can collect unemployment in Michigan, is it still 99 weeks?
No, it's dropped to 73 weeks.
Okay. Well, there's some progress.
I mean, we know that anybody who has been unemployed, and I have been, and I know that sheer terror to some degree of all of a sudden when your boss says, in my case, we're shutting down the business, and I've got obligations that I've taken on, and all of a sudden I don't have a job, and that's terrifying, and I don't downplay at all. But what we ought to be spending time on is developing a job economy in this country that says we're going to expand the opportunities and choices that you will have, as opposed to saying we're going to carry you through for another 26 weeks or another 3 months or 73 weeks or whatever it ends up being, rather than doing the right thing in saying America's people can compete with anybody in the world if given the opportunity and the incentive. And if we get government out of the way and take the unnecessary hurdles out of the way, we will grow an economy that always grows at the private sector, especially with small businesses, and people will have an opportunity. Maybe not the perfect job for the next year or two, but a job that will give them the opportunity to hitchhike on that and move to something better in the future.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that if you are currently employed and looking for a new job, your chance of getting that new job is 100% better.
Exactly.
Than if you are unemployed and looking for a job. And that's why people need to remember that. You take any job because you know what? Your next employer say, why did you take that back? Because I got to put food on the kit table and I don't believe in unemployment. You know what? Your new boss will look at you and go, that's a go-getter. So to anybody who's unemployed right now, take whatever job you can. The excuse is, I'm feeding my family. That's why I took this job that I'm overqualified for. But it will make getting that next job that much easier. And people need to remember. I think a lot of people forget that.
Well, it's a good thing. I mean, you feel good when you're working. At least I do. I at the times that I've been unemployed, including when I lost this office for 2 years and was unemployed. Now, in politics, you expect that you might be unemployed every 2 year cycle. You could be the one that is defeated, and you go home, and the guy who beat you goes to Washington. But nonetheless, it's not a reason for anyone to sit down and say, I'm done. Rather, it's an opportunity to say, well, what's next for me? And if government continues to put tax hurdles in the way and regulatory hurdles in the way and redundant programs, we have 659 different programs that deal with contracting in the federal government. And all of that redundancy adds a cost to the taxpayer. We have 45 separate jobs training, federal jobs training programs that in the Skills Act that we passed in the House and sent to the Senate, and it languishes there on Harry Reid's desk, put that down from 45 down to about 20 different programs. That's still too many, but it turns the control more over to the states, local communities, and job providers to provide that training that will provide jobs for the real world and training for the real world jobs. So, I mean, those are the types of things that we need to be looking at. And I encourage your listeners, again, get that concept of issues versus solutions. And when you hear politicians talking about issues, oftentimes they don't want a solution because they want that continued point of division to be out there, as opposed to getting our sleeves rolled up, getting down to work, and completing a task to solve something that'll move our country forward.
Yeah, and there's no better example than that. And I see it on Facebook every day. Your former adversary, Mark Schauer, is now running for governor in the state of Michigan, and he's always looking for divisive issues on Facebook. He's always talking about, instead of talking about solutions, he's always pointing to these divisive issues, and it's not solutions. So you hit it right on the head. That's what the it's what the Democrats do. They divide. Well, they don't provide solutions.
And politicians too often promote the fact that government is the answer. We've seen it isn't the answer. Look at Obamacare. It's not the answer. Look at even unemployment insurance. It's not the answer. Minimum wage, establishing that. Why does anybody want to be saddled with a $10 an hour job like Mark Schauer wants us to have? No, I want an opportunity to grow beyond that. In fact, most businesses, and Gary, you're an entrepreneur, you supply jobs. Most small businesses employ people at higher wages than minimum wage right now. But when you put that on, then the union bosses are able to say, well, we're going to have our settlement at a certain percentage higher than minimum wage. So who wins? People who have jobs already and the people that are looking for it are saddled with less job opportunities and, in fact, a standard of living and an income level that just doesn't cut it.
You know, Tim, you mentioned the different programs that the federal government pays for and the waste of money and the redundancy. I'm looking at from the 2013 IRS website, and it's for the 1040 tax return, and it's got a pie chart here about outlays of the federal government in 2012. And, you know, a lot of people think that all of our money goes to defense, or a big chunk of it goes to defense, when in fact, less than a quarter, only 24% of our outlays go for defense. And what you were describing earlier, these different social programs, it's 70% of our federal outlays go for social programs. And of course, Social Security is a big chunk of that. But in the final, the balance, 6% goes to service the debt, the interest. So anyway, a big chunk of our money, more than two-thirds, goes for social programs like you're describing.
Yeah, and with more government involvement in that and taking away, for instance, Social Security, we've raped and pillaged that system to the point that if Social Security is costing more and you're getting less, the security isn't there, and there hasn't been an adult conversation in the room because of this issues versus solutions mantra of trying to scare people who all they want is to have the promise kept for Social Security. And I'm committed to doing that, to making sure that we reform in such a way that people on Social Security or soon to be will have that promise kept, but we find a better solution for the future that gets the government out of the way and gives us more control of our own futures, our own destiny, and we get better return on the bucks that we put toward that future as well. And that's where we have to get away from these politicians that always talk about government providing the answer. If that were true, we wouldn't be having the problems right now that we're having, and we wouldn't have a $17 trillion debt looking in the faces of our grandkids and great-grandkids who haven't asked for one penny of that debt, and yet they're going to be saddled with $55,000 of responsibility to pay for that if we don't do something about it soon.
Yeah. And you know, another thing, too, is that we touched on the minimum wage not being a livable wage. And right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Social Security, I don't believe, was ever meant to be something you lived off of. It was a supplement. And now the mindset and the culture has become, I need to live off of my Social Security.
It was a safety net that was intended for. In fact, Franklin Delano Roosevelt made it very clear that it was never to be something that we could expect to have as a solution for our retirement years, but rather as a supplement. And frankly, again, issues versus solutions took up, and government bureaucrats and politicians decided we're going to gain more control by having more control over people's lives, and we're going to make that their destiny. That's a terrible thing. And frankly, we have to move away from that and give the opportunity for people who can do for themselves and will do better than government does if given the freedom and opportunity. This great country of America has charted the course in such a short period of time in this world history to show what can be done if you give free people free opportunities to make choices.
Great. Well, Tim, thanks so much for calling in. And you are always welcome on the show anytime. So hopefully we'll see you again next month.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks so much, and have a great day, and keep getting the message out.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tim.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The Vice President leading the U.S. delegation to Israel for the funeral of former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on Monday.
He is considered the last of sort of the great Israeli leaders. At the height of his power back in 2006 as Prime Minister, Sharon suffered a debilitating stroke, hanging on in a coma for the next 8 years.
Fox's Connor Powell in Jerusalem. The Yankee third baseman learning the outcome of his appeal for his doping suspension.
An arbitration panel reduces the suspension for New York Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez from 211 games to 162. That's the entire 2014 season. A-Rod says he's taking the case to federal court, arguing he did not break his contract, never failed the test for performance-enhancing drugs, and that the case against him relied on false testimony.
Fox Radio's Chris Foster. And for Breaking Bad fans, a spinoff featuring Walter White's lawyer set to premiere in November. Fox News, we report, you decide.
For collateralized personal and business loans, go to the professionals at Pawn to You. Are you paying high interest rates on your credit card debt? Are you having a hard time making those monthly payments? Do you have valuables at home collecting dust? Then let the experts at Pawn to You see if they can turn your valuables into cash at a lower interest rate than you may be paying on your current credit card debt. Pawn to You makes cash loans of any duration backed by your personal or business assets, with no background or credit checks required. Your privacy is guaranteed, and Pawn to You can come to your home or business at your convenience. Email pawnloans at yahoo.com or call 734-389-5228. That's 734-389-5228. Or go to www.pawntoyou.com. That email again is pawnloans at yahoo.com. Or go to the website www.pawntoyou.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Ran short on time there, didn't we?
It goes quick.
It does. I wanted to give Tim a chance to talk about his website. It's election year and all, and unfortunately the hard break hit us real quick. So Tim's one of the good guys. Congressman Wahlberg is a good man. I originally met him for lunch one day and said, you know, I want to see the Department of Energy and Education go away. And he said, I'll do you one better. I'd like to see the Department of Commerce go away too, because it's just a waste of money. And so he's one of those constitutional Republicans. He is conservative. You know, you may not like 100% of all that he does, but he's one of the superior guys, I think, in Congress right now, and should get. I don't know why we don't see him more on Fox News. They should be talking to guys like Congressman Tim.
You know, right. I mean, he's very articulate.
He's articulate.
Expresses it very well.
Oh, yeah. And he keeps a copy of the Constitution right on his phone. So he goes and he quotes from it all the time. He's a constitutional Republican. So I like Tim. You know, yeah, you can't please everybody, but Tim is one of the good guys. So if you can help Tim out this year, www.wahlbergforcongress.com. send him $5, send him $20, whatever you can, help him get through. I don't think he's got a lot of competition this year. He's done a good job. I don't even know who the Democrat is running for him. I'll have to Google that one up during the next break. But he should be able to get through. But it costs money to run for Congress. It does. So if you can send him a couple bucks, please do so. What else we got to talk about?
Well, when I pulled into the parking lot, the weather, I thought I was in the Falkland Islands.
Salty snow.
So it went from, it went from the Antarctica, and I moved a little north to the Falklands.
Yeah,
so that's where we're at weather-wise.
Well, I'll do a
global climate change.
Yeah, let's do a little sponsor this half hour. Will be the Current. The January issue is out, being well received. And if you want your business seen by thousands and thousands of people for pennies apiece, call me, 734-629-6010, or email me, Gary at the Daily Drift, or editor at currentonline.com. And you can get your business advertised. We've grown the Current 600% since 2007, which is unbelievable growth for a newspaper in the worst of times since the Great Depression. And it's a great way to get your business branded with a common sense conservative publication like The Current.
I just thought of a slogan to advertisers. Get your current on.
Oh, hey, there you go. There you go. So again, 734-629-6010. Call me and I'll hook you up with some advertising in The Current or on this radio show. Goodness knows.
Absolutely.
Goodness knows we could use a little money at this radio show. You know, I'd like to replace the seat I'm sitting on.
Well, it's got to supplement my Social Security.
I'd like a little protein supplements. I need to start working out again.
Oh, yeah. Have you started?
I have been doing some push-ups, yeah.
Good man. I haven't. I haven't done
anything.
Somebody
told me I got to do 100 a day. Well, I've been not quite there.
But not all at once.
No. I could probably be wearing a man's ear right now. You know what I mean? I could do that.
Well, if your man's ear gets dirty, I'll lend you my bro.
That's exactly right. All right, so let's talk about Bridgegate, right? Chris Christie this week. A lot of poo-hoo from pundits across the board. You know, the Democrats, of course, love it because they think Christie is the strong runner. And frankly, I think he's a Democrat. And we joked about that before.
Did Christie walk across that bridge and cause it to be tied up?
Maybe.
He blocked
sheer
it?
Presence closed lanes, I'm sure.
We said no fat jokes, but
I couldn't help it.
I'm sorry.
So do you think this is going to hurt him?
No.
Do you think he really knew?
80% of me says no.
Okay. I don't know, and frankly,
who cares?
Who cares?
It's so minor.
You know, he fired the – at least he has the goodness – I put that on Facebook today. There was a meme, whatever they call those things, of Barack Obama asking Chris Christie, so how do you really fire somebody?
At least Christie didn't say he was running from sniper fire.
Yeah, well, there you go. Don't start us with Miss Hillary. But, at least he owned up, and he made an executive decision and fired two lifelong friends of his. It's up
Haldeman and Ehrlichman.
He's not my first choice for president, so it's not like a real big deal for me. I would vote for him over Hillary Clinton in a heartbeat. There's no
ifs,
ands, or buts about that.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't really bother me one way or the other. I mean, Christie's not my first choice, but I'm certainly going to support him, as we all should, if he ends up getting the nod.
I agree.
I think I'd prefer Rand Paul or Marco Rubio to Christie, but hey, you got to take it the good with the bad, right? It brings us to the point, I think we've had this discussion before, but it's worth having again. How does the Republican Party pull itself together?
And
how do you get the libertarians, the strict right-to-life Republicans, to work with moderate Republicans and pull off a win? How do we do that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you're right. There are a lot of factions, and they seem to be growing in severity as far as their philosophies, and trying to get along with each other is more difficult. But also, getting the message out to the electorate, that to me always seems that the Republicans fail.
Absolutely.
Compared to the Democrats.
They have absolutely no marketing. I don't know
no.
who their campaign advisors are. They are the complete buffoons of the political world.
Yeah, it's weak at best. And what I've always said, why don't they use, on a much more consistent basis the Democrats' own words against them as far as replaying what they've said. They don't have to, you know, a Republican candidate doesn't have to necessarily always repeat what the Democrats said. They can play the audio. They can play the video and just do that on a consistent basis so people see it and it resonates in their brains like, yeah, this Democrat is insane or contradictory and is a big hypocrite or just a flat-out idiot. And it would be easy to do. It wouldn't cost anything. The Democrats often provide the ammunition to defeat them, and we don't take advantage of that.
Right. And I think I've heard this before, too, that the Republicans always want to take the high road. Well, in this day and age, you can't always take the high road anymore. That's not the way our culture is.
Yeah, and you know what? The high road has never been taken in politics ever.
Well, exactly.
I mean, you go back to the times of Washington and Jefferson. Jefferson did some horrible things to Washington. You know, he hired a journalist to plant false stories in the paper about, you know, Washington was an idiot and Washington was nuts and all this kind of stuff and lied about it repeatedly. You know, he would be asked, you know, to Thomas Jefferson, are you behind these stories? He said, no. And then it was pointed out with clear evidence that he was. Well, what are you going to do? So, I mean, people think,
Jefferson.
it was so
clean. How odd that William Jefferson Clinton was named after him.
Well, that it was so clean back then, and politics have never been clean.
Right.
Never.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing that already the Republicans are doing the stupid stuff like working with the Chamber of Commerce to crush the Tea Party. The Tea Party is the strength of the Republican Party right now. Why would you start an infighting like that? Because that's what's happening. If you're going to start infighting, I certainly don't want to see the Republicans tear each other to ribbons for the 2016 election like they did for the last one. I mean, that did nothing but make Romney unelectable.
Yeah, and those debates. The chairman of the RNC, I think, would probably be at least partly responsible for all those debates. Yeah. I hope that guy's gone and they have a different format this year because that was embarrassing.
I said this too after the last presidential election. Why aren't these presidential contenders, you know, at the point where they're down to, we've narrowed it down, we've got one, Mitt Romney. Why did Mitt Romney not pick up Ron Paul, Santorum, Huckabee, and put them on the cabinet? If you hire them in for spots as vice president and cabinet posts, you're going to pick up the support of all those people that you would have lost otherwise.
Yeah, you're saying to put that information out there before you're elected. People that'll sign up.
The guy that I'm electing president ought to have his cabinet picked. You know what I mean?
It makes sense.
Be ready to roll months and months before you roll into office.
Right.
Because, and I think you would. We lost a lot of Ron Paul supporters who didn't vote for Romney, not a chance. But if Romney had said, Ron Paul, I want you to be my Secretary of Finance, or Treasury, sorry, you know, what difference would that have made? Probably 5 million. No. I saw your eyes go wide when you were talking about that. But, yeah, I mean, get ahead of the game. Do some common sense stuff. Put your cabinet together from the people that are dropping out because they know they're going to drop out early. You know, some of those guys put their hat in the ring and it's just like, really, why are you wasting time and money? You know, you're just dividing the party as opposed to making it any stronger, you know. Mm-hmm. As soon as they come on board and support you, I got a cabinet post for you. Let's talk and move at it from that direction. It just doesn't make any sense. Is it Paul Sabato had a nice article about whether the GOP this year could win it all for 2014, take back the Senate, increase the House of Representatives, but it's theirs to lose. You know, what boneheaded mistakes are the Republicans going to make this time around? I'm hoping somebody doesn't put their foot in their mouth again over rape, incest, abortion, or any of these other things. You know, just those problems need to go away. Just don't talk about them this election. You know,
You know, with the way our electorate is, and we're in this entertainment tonight type culture and mentality,
exactly,
we have to have somebody that's sharp, but also has the charisma to sell it. And if you don't have that charisma where you're going to wow the common man, the common folk, then you know, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Well, oddly enough, you saw the story this week about Steven Seagal thinking of throwing his hat in the ring for Arizona governor, right? And it who'd have known? Well, I guess we should all known. He used to work for the CIA, I think. I don't know if that's urban legend or not, but I think it's true. Steven Seagal had a job.
Is this before he gained 500 pounds?
Yeah,
or after?
Yeah. He's a little chubby.
I couldn't believe that.
He's a little chubby. I still wouldn't mess with him.
No. I'd run from him and probably be able to do that.
Maybe. You're in shape.
Was he wearing a tent dress? No, I'm not in shape, but I could still outrun him.
He was looking a little thick.
Yeah,
a moo-moo. That way. But I think, unfortunately for the Republicans, that's what it's going to take. Because most people, they've painted themselves into this caricature of conservatives that the only way a Republican can win anymore
is celebrities.
Is a celebrity. You're going to have
Kelsey Grammer.
Well, I don't know if anyone would take him seriously either. He's got too much baggage.
Well, he's a conservative. Yeah, he has some baggage, but, you know, he's articulate.
Yeah, I still like Bruce Willis, dude.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. I wish he had moved here to Michigan and opened up a residence and run for U.S. Senate here to take car. He'd have won, hands down. Every Democrat, every liberal, every Republican, every libertarian would have probably voted for him, you know?
Hey, since we're kind of brainstorming, what do you think about this? And I haven't looked into his past in detail by any means, but I've always thought to myself, what would inspire me at this point in our history and in my life is I want to see a warrior elected as president.
I would, yes.
A true warrior that's had that background. And I'm thinking to myself, well, who? And one of the names that and again, this is a whimsical thing I'm saying, Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater.
Oh.
There's a guy that's seen it all, done it all, and former Navy SEAL, executive.
I think there's some baggage there.
He's not a dummy, and I'm thinking, hey, that's a guy I'd like to look into.
Marcus Luttrell.
Well, yeah, I don't think Marcus is going to go there, but Eric Prince, you know, there's an executive.
Yeah, well, let's take a call. We got Pastor Rick on line one. Pastor Rick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, and good afternoon to both of you gentlemen.
Thanks, Pastor Rick.
I just wanted to make a comment on some of these, this fractioning of the Republican Party. I voted for Romney. He was not my first choice.
Mine neither.
But, you know, at that point I voted because he had an R behind his name. I'm just now getting tired of rewarding politicians with my vote just because they have a letter behind their name, when they're not performing in line with that letter, so to speak. It's like with our current governor. I can't vote for Wahlberg, but I can't reward Snyder with my vote either. He's no better than any of the Democrats.
So what you're saying is you're so disgusted now that you're going to make a stand, and you got to draw a line in the sand, and that's it.
And those that are conservative, and that's it. And I'm going
to... I understand that.
The heck with the R.
I enjoy that thought and that line of thinking, Pastor Rick, but it would come right down to it. If it was my choice this time between Mark Schauer and Rick Snyder, which is your choice, because you'll never have a third party in this state or any other until they stop straight ticket voting. Because
I said Wahlberg earlier, and I meant to say Schauer, and excuse that. Well, Mr. Wahlberg's fantastic. He's absolutely wonderful.
Well, there you go.
But I don't see any difference between Schauer
and Snyder.
The only reason he passed right to work was to punish the unions because they tried that ballot initiative.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't even try it for the right reason.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, but you know what? If I'll do whatever it takes to keep Mark Schauer from being the governor.
Snyder and right to
I think
Snyder
needs to start working to keep the conservative vote if he's going to get my vote, but so far he hasn't really shown that he wants the conservative vote.
Hey, how about this comparison? Snyder and right to work is like Bill Clinton and welfare reform.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll let you guys, I just want to throw that thought out there. Right. That's where I'm at, and I know, Drake, you know that's where I've been at for a while.
Yeah, I respect that. I understand where you're coming from.
There are a lot of people that were there with the last presidential election. I wasn't there yet, but Snyder just really, really just
He's been a disappointment to me, too. But you know what? Unless there's another guy who can replace him who's more conservative, he's got my vote.
I hope he has a primary.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate Pastor Rick's being up front and just saying, hey, you know what? I've been pushed over the edge, and this is just the way it's going to be. I'm drawing the line, and going forward, I can't do it anymore.
As long as you don't cut your nose to spite your face, dude.
Well, that's the risk that you take, though. And he's saying he's willing to do that because he's been pushed so far.
I completely understand, but here's the thing. Mark Schauer power will get in there to reverse.
Exactly.
He will reverse right to work in the state if that happens.
I see your point, too. So, there's no easy there's no easy answer on that.
Good point, Pastor Rick. Thank you for the call.
You have a blessed day now.
Okay, you too. Sam from Whitmore Lake, my old buddy Sam Iaquinto from Whitmore Lake. Sam, welcome to the show.
Nope, he's gone.
Nope, I lost him. Sam, call back. Somehow I lost him, Derek. I thought I was pushing the right button.
Hey, let's do the Drake Blast from the Past mystery audio.
Oh, can
it's
we
only
do
30
that,
seconds.
Yeah, while we have time.
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Okay, here we go. Oh, Derek's trying to pull it up.
Come on, Davey. Sally, unless you want to stay here.
Four, please.
Davey, I'm going to.
Hey, Dad, don't forget
David
Goliath.
That's
two
it.
Adults, yes. Two children, and one for Goliath. He's a friend of the family.
Yeah, I would have given it away if I hadn't gotten it. Yeah.
He's no child.
Yeah, it was the old...
is he, Dad?
I don't know, what was that? Animation, claymation,
no,
whatever it was?
No,
it was...
What do you mean by old?
They're calling it stop motion in the little article I've got here, but it was a Christian television series put on by the Lutheran Church in America, now a part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and it was produced by the same guy who produced Gumby. These are 15-minute episodes, and I could go on more about this. The theme song of the show is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," written by Martin Luther around 1529. And the show is aimed at a youth audience and generally dealt with issues such as respect for authority, sharing, and prejudice. And eventually these themes included serious issues such as racism, death, religious intolerance, and vandalism. So it was a show in the 60s. I think it carried over into the 70s a little bit. It looks like there were 72 episodes altogether. I used to watch this as a kid.
I did too.
You did too. Yeah. I figure we're about the same age, you know, so that's where I want to go with this whole
All the things that they wouldn't allow on television today, all the wholesomeness. It's too wholesome.
Yeah, it was a very wholesome show and yet entertaining if you were a small child. So I'm saying to the parents out there that are listening right now, if you have small children, I'm going to say, what do you think, like age 3 to maybe 8 or 9?
I think I was 8 or 9 when I was watching.
Sure, maybe, And then kids, you know, they watch Family Guy now, so, But anyway, that's a show worth watching. You can watch it for free on YouTube, and they're 15-minute episodes. They're fantastic.
Right. Let's take a call. Sam's back on line one. Sam, how are you?
Great, Gary. How are you?
Good to hear from you. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to give you another positive call regarding Tim Walberg. I, too, feel he is one of the good guys. He, working with him for a number of years, you and I working with him through the current, he definitely is a conservative individual and a person that wants to advance the party and logical thinking going forward. So that's very, very good to hear that you had him on the show, and I was listening to him, and it was very great great statements he was bringing forward. So
Well, good.
Thank you for that.
Great.
And
you got
also, just wanted to say thanks for continuing the current. It's a great venue for a great message, and it definitely works for advertisers out there, myself being one of them. Thanks for keeping it up.
Great. Hey, real quick, Sam, I'm running short on time, but tell me, Pond Hockey is on this year. What days?
It is February 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's a great venue, great social venue for people to come and watch some great hockey being played. Great opportunity to get out and see what's going on in the Whitmore Lake area. We'll have 3,000 to 4,000 people per day. We have fireworks starting on the 6 o'clock on Friday evening, opening up then with the national anthem being sung, then pond hockey Friday night under the lights for four games, and then Saturday during the day, Saturday afternoon is the chili dip on Whitmore Lake at 2 o'clock. Pond hockey again in the evening for three games under the lights. And then Saturday or Sunday for the championship. So it's a great 501c3 pure fundraising event for youth athletics.
Great. Well, I'll have you on again before that happens, Sam, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth.
Sounds great. And anybody can go to the MichiganPondHockey.com website for more information. Thanks, Gary.
Cool. Thanks, Sam.
Talk to you.
Okay, you too. Well, bye-bye. Joining us in studio, the great They Run X.
This is one of the benefits to having a key to the building. I can just dive in here and bogart my way into your show.
Now, Gary, if he says to you, do you have a minute, say no.
Now, the reason I came in, I just came back, Drake, from taking care of a piece of business in the city, but I couldn't help but listen to you guys on the radio talking about the difference between Pastor Rick called in Shower and Snyder. Let me tell you something. If the choice is between Snower and Schauer and Snyder, I'm going to Chicago and voting twice for Snyder, because Mark Schauer would have my gun in his hand right now. They would take away our guns. Rick Snyder screwed up big time on not getting rid of gun-free zones, but Mark Schauer would have us into Colorado meets Connecticut mode right now. Do not doubt that.
Yep, that's exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not 100% happy with Rick Snyder, but you know what? Use your common sense on election day. You know, the lesser of two evils, I'm taking the lesser of two evils.
And you know, and I want to amend that. What I've been saying on my show lately is, I don't even think in terms of lesser of two evils anymore. I think of what are my choices? And I'm going to make the best choice, even if each one's a crappy choice. I'm making the best choice that I possibly can make. And I'm going to weigh all things out, all things considered. Snyder trumps Mark Schauer heads and shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, it's that thinking, too. All the people that didn't vote for Romney, right, they stayed home. They didn't vote for Ron Paul, so they said, I'm not voting. You know what? Really? You wanted Barack Obama for another 4 years? That's what you got by not voting.
And you made an excellent point. You guys were talking before about having all your ducks in a row. Here's my Secretary of State. Here's my my Secretary of Defense. Months in advance. Anyway, good show. Keep up the good work. You all deserve raises. That's my two cents worth. Thank you so much.
Woo! I'm voting for the Social Democrat Party. Oh, wait a minute. That's in Europe.
Oh, you mean no. Chris Christie? Oh, don't take me. If I have to vote for Christie, I will come.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to tell you guys, I don't want to take up too much of your show, but I heard some great stuff about Christie last night on Jerry Doyle's show, and if you caught it, he was playing some audio. And Chris Christie, I didn't know this. At one point when he came in after Corzine, it completely screwed the stayed up worse than Chinese music. Corzine used to do that thing where I'm putting a cot in my office and I'm going to sleep here until you guys in the Senate were in house work it out so that we can get these taxes through. Christie said to the press right away, first of all, I'm taking, I think it was like $2 billion out of the state budget. Boom, right off the bat, cut everything by about 15%. And then said, I'm having a cot taken out of this office. And he said, I'm going back to my house. I'm going to order a pizza and pop a beer, and I'll be here until the Senate gets their act together and makes these cuts go through.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back until then.
So, yeah, you know,
good stuff, man.
Come election day, if he were the guy to get the nod, over top of Hillary, it's not even a thought. I'm voting for Christie.
Faron, what do you think about Eric Prince?
Oh, I heard that. Amen.
I got to check into that guy.
He doesn't have a chance, but
he has no chance. But
warrior
I like him.
President, yeah. Warrior president. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
Alan West.
Warrior president.
I'd love to see him run. Yes,
we need a warrior class at the federal level.
Well,
in
I've been
the executive
saying,
branch.
And you guys tell me what you think. I think the dream ticket would be, but I don't know that they'd have a chance either. But Rand Paul, Alan West, either way, one president, one vice president.
It would be one of my top choices.
Outstanding.
Absolutely. But again, you're right, because you know what? They're a little so far to the right, you're not going to get that moderate Republican vote.
What concerns me about Rand Paul, I just hope he's not like his father on foreign affairs. If that's the case, then forget it for me. I'll stay home.
We got plenty of time to vet them, and of course they will. Well, that's the end of the show.
I love Derek Prince's Party Till Not Like 1999 album.
Not that, Prince.
Until next week, stay tuned. Go to The Current Online and The Daily Drift Online, and stay informed.
It's fun,
see you
as
next
always.
Week.